will officially start a meeting if you all agree. This is a meeting of the stability, stability, security, and resilience of the DNS team of ICANN, review team of ICANN under the AOC. This is the working meeting. This meeting is open, though it doesn't have planned any public participation, as it's an internal working meeting. Anyone present is very welcome. Just be warned that we don't have an open mic out there, but we're, in particular, I mean, Glenn, we're honored that you choose us as the background for your email. And I know your presence here means a lot more than that. As you all know, we've been collecting inputs, elaborating on them. We have, especially the drafting team, has been doing a lot of work on creating a text that will be the report. In particular, at the beginning of this week, we focused on saying what would be the recommendations that we would make, and we have hammered them out. To some level, they still need two things. One of them is to find out whether we have all the recommendations we'll emit. I'm sure we haven't gotten them all. All of them yet. That's one of the reasons to meet. The other thing that we have to do, of course, is to see how, I mean, to come to some level of agreement within the review team about the substance and text of the recommendations. And the very important fact that each of these recommendations has to be backed by fact or informed opinion and reasoning so that they are easy to follow, easy to understand, easy for people to understand when they become obsolete, for example, in 2 days or 2 years, and where they would go for new ones if that happens, to establish a metric, to make them compelling, as I said in the previous meeting, in the public input meeting, to make them compelling for everybody who reads them, in particular for ICANN staff, easy to follow and to put metrics on. Well, ICANN staff or board, because some of them may go all the way to the board, or may become actions for staff to be overseen by the board. The work has been exciting. It has been very lively and interesting. It's been intensive. I want to start the meeting by being very thankful and proud of being in a team with people like you. And to thank, in close quarters now, Alice and Olof and Patrick and Denise, and the people who have made this work at all possible by their constant vigilance and support. It's been an amazing level of support. The basic time management plan I have in mind for today is let's do a little bit of updates and brainstorming, then let's go into the recommendations. You have them in print in each of your places, and we can go back to the text and see how it's done. By the end of today, let's say at sometime like 3 or 4 p.m., we should stop whatever work we're doing on, you know, understanding and hammering out recommendations and seeing where they have to come from, and use a short while to organize for further work. We will know better how to scope it and divide the labor and make a division of labor by then. But what we have to achieve in the coming month or so is to actually have a complete draft with full text. From what's been going on, I think it's going to be like a 40-page text, plus an executive summary, plus maybe, you know, a section with the recommendations alone, stuff like that. So I'll leave it there and call on whoever of you wants to start by reporting what you've been doing and explaining to the group what you think is the way forward. And let's have about half an hour brainstorm, and then that will give us a clearer course of what to do. Simon, do you want to start?
What I would suggest, if that's okay. And
pardon me. Do we have any remote membership?
For the time being, we have no remote participation.
Okay. What I'd suggest is, we if that's okay, that we, instead of spending half an hour
We just a really quick update on what we plan, what we do. I suggest that those of us been involved in the work of this week, just really briefly do that. And I think it'd be great to get split into groups as quickly as we can, if that makes sense. If that's okay with people, I think we can discuss and brainstorm in the groups and get going with the drafting. Okay. So just very briefly, I amongst others have been working on, as you know, there's a chunk of analysis that we did over between Singapore and here. You've all seen that on the mailing list. If you've read it, then great. Thanks very much for reading it. If you haven't read it, but feel free to read it. I think the documents have been uploaded into the wiki, Alice. Is that right? Sorry? Okay. They're on the mailing list anyway, so feel free to comment. We've taken a lot of that work, and we have taken the approach of putting together a draft report framework and an outline of all the issues and recommendations that we feel have come out of the analysis so far. Some of us have met this week on just about every day this week to craft that into a list of recommendations. So it's kind of weird. We're kind of starting with the end in mind, with a set of recommendations, with a view to then filling in the justification for those recommendations. That would then form the basis of a draft report, view being that the draft report would be something that's probably only 4 to 5 weeks away if we were to take that approach. We've had a lot of analysis, a lot of input from people, a lot of opinion, which has been fantastic. We've had some recent stuff coming in this week from Bill and from others, which is great. So we've got a situation now. We've got recommendations that are really well backed by some strong analysis, and we've got some recommendations that are backed by some really interesting insights, and we've got some recommendations that we think are right, but we need to go and justify them as well. So we've kind of got and I think our job as a team today and over the coming weeks is to start filling in those gaps so that we end up with a draft report. Jeff, is there anything you want to add to that?
No, I think that's a good. I think you're right. I think things are at, you know, maybe the first sections of the report are probably the ones where the analysis was done months ago and there's some draft writing and it can just be filled in, and then some of the risk management is newer thinking, and I think have some proposed recommendations that are kind of seem right but need to be fleshed out. And so I think the important step coming out of the meeting is that everyone has clarity that of specific tasks and achievable things that we can get done quickly. Yeah.
Other inputs, reports.
Bill, do you want to report a bit in words about the work you've been doing besides the fantastic text that you've provided in the last few days?
Well, the output from the Washington, D.C. meeting, we created work packets for people to work on, and I ended up with three of them, or being responsible for part of three of them, and I finally collected the interview pieces and other stuff and tried to summarize into something that was digestible for two of them. I'm working on the third one now. So hopefully those will be useful as the drafting team puts the report together.
Thanks, Bill. Andish.
I have been looking at the ability, ICANN's ability to handle state of severe strains, to handle the risks towards the functions of the part of the internet that they are responsible for, but also handle situations where the broader attack against the whole internet can impact on ICANN's way of working. So I have compiled a set of 8 questions regarding this, and they sent to the board, the SSA chair, the ERSOC lead, and the board is the ICANN chair, the ICANN CEO, and the ICANN security officer. I haven't so far get any responses from the board members, but from the SSAC chair I have got a good response, and I also got response from some key individuals in Sweden from the Swedish internet community. So I'm working on compiling a report of all these answers. And I've been promised to get answers from Rod Bäckström and Jeff Moss in the coming 7 days. And also Steve Crocker has promised to give a separate answer to me very soon, perhaps today. Thank you.
Thank you, Anders. Dave, maybe, do you want to report on your work?
I did a detailed look at the review of the ESSAC. Pretty much concluded that the ESSAC had done a very good job of following their own review. There were like one or two things where they'd not, but it didn't seem to affect SSR at all. Mostly just relationships between the board and ESSAC. So I'm basically going to say we should probably mention that ESSAC, in the report, that ESSAC did a very good job of following their review, and they should do it again. And it improved the working of that body pretty significantly by the looks of it. I've been also looking at this issue of the board, of what exactly, how the ESSAC giving up the responsibility for the DNS threat landscape or risk landscape, and I think that has became much clearer in the meeting with ESSAC yesterday, with the comments from RAM about the board group, which is essentially that the board are building a new framework for that. So it's an interesting point where we're reporting on something on a changing landscape very much. The board have not yet decided what shape that process is going to take within ICANN, which is absolutely crucial. So if we're going to say anything negative about it, it would be that there's a gap in between giving the responsibility being taken away from ESSAC and between it being, having a plan to replace it. But in terms of what it will be replaced by, that's still very much in flux. So that's going to be an issue for us, an awkward issue for us to report on. We may have to kind of put some of that in quite at the end of the process as we track what the board working group is doing. If we're able to.
Denise is asking to give us some feedback on that.
Just a quick note. Actually, ESSAC was never doing that. I think one of the reasons that they asked that be removed from their mandate is because they never had the membership resources staffing.
Right. So they weren't. They felt they weren't effectively doing it in the first place.
No, they weren't. They had never tried, and they were never doing it. And so after the ESSAC review, they went through and they cleaned up and made sure that the bylaws and the published mandate for ESSAC was aligned with what they actually could and were and would be doing.
That's really useful.
And Marty. A quick update on your work.
I had three questions in the work packet. I've got responses from a few people. I need to correlate those responses and return them to the group. I've spent a fairly considerable amount of time integrating the responses that I have received into the current draft that we have, along with the drafting team.
Thank you. Any more updates, questions to what you've heard? So we should dip into the recommendations.
I want to be careful if we're going to go through all 30 or 35 recommendations on the list as a group. There's a danger that we're going to end up getting deep diving into every one of them, which could cost us a lot of time. So I just wonder if there's a way. I mean, I open it to the floor really. Whether there's a way, if people want to go through those, whether we're better off splitting into smaller groups to go through them. Just trying to think about time for everybody really. And just, I know everyone's very tired. So.
Yep. In fact, the risk is that we will only get like 5 done. If we do them in in a single group. So I would beg you to read them. I think it's easier in your printouts. And how do you want to split the groups? I think that we should split back in the original structure or by the section numbers, 1, 2, and 3. One of them, especially 3, is a lot less developed than or two groups. You're more for two groups, right?
Well, I think what we discovered this week, in fact, what we discovered over the last few weeks, is that 1 and 2, the sort of governance and implementation side of things, seem to you can't really easily just go into the governance without looking at how that governance has then been implemented. And so what we found is there was a quite big overlap between my work and Jeff's work. So the suggestion was that my suggestion would be we split into what was traditionally teams one and two together to work on that side of the report, and then a separate team to look at the risk side of things, which is perhaps slightly less developed anyway, and look at risk mitigation and so forth. But that's just a suggestion.
For that also...
Yeah? I was going to say also, I don't think there's that much left to do in Section 1 other than the writing, you know, and so I think if we kind of are roughly breaking in between... Section 2 and Section 3, those are where the big work efforts are, I think. Yeah.
So we would have you two, Jeff and Simon, lead on one of the subgroups for 1 and 2 during a couple of hours here, let's say from now to lunch. And I and if Martin wants, we could be leading on the other one. Leading means mostly keeping time and noting. We do have a lot of text to hammer out. What we thought when planning the session is that this is not a good day for actually go write extensive text. The text I mean is, for example, in the extensive document you'll find a couple of pages about the root server system, how it operates, and what the relationships of the RSAC are, which are only draft language that has to be fleshed out and made and sharpened. But we'll have to do that for the CSNSO, for the GAC, for number of parties, ESSAC certainly, the DSSA, parties that are directly relevant to the SSR review, because one of the things that we're reviewing are the relationships of ICANN with these entities. So I don't think it's in any way practical to try to do that text today. What we need to do is start from the recommendations backward and reverse engineer the document, and decide who is going to take the responsibility for those pages. And it's going to be a bunch of pages in the end. The descriptive precedent session that leads to the recommendations. It's not like there's not a lot of writing left. It's just, I'm trying to interpret what you said. In Section 1, there's not that much work left for writing down the recommendations themselves.
That's true.
Right?
That's
just to sharpen.
There is at least a... Right, and there is at least a draft of the analysis, and that has been pretty stable for a while as far as the issues and the recommendations, so yeah. I do think the one other thing I would say as we're all working on these sections is we've tried to put in placeholders for the data requests that either we understand are pending with the staff or we want to make, and I do think in the interest of time, the more we can come out today or with kind of the list of here's what we're looking for, the better... Well, if we are, we've gotten a bunch of information recently, but I think this is a good chance to try and crystallize the information requests as well.
Do you have a choice of teammates you want to make, or you want for people to volunteer?
Just a suggestion, actually, just from Alice now, which I think may have some. There is one other thing is we did go in and observe the WHOIS team going through their recommendations early on this week, just to see how they were doing, and. Just putting something else out on the floor, so I'd shoot from the hip here, but is there, rather than deep dive into the recommendations, in order that, that the whole group, particularly those who haven't seen the recommendation we've got, is there a way in which we can rattle through those 30 recommendations together as a group without discussing them, i.e. everyone kind of thumbs up, thumbs down, that seems like a good one, move on, that seems like a difficult one, great, we put them in the difficult pile, so that we end up very quickly establishing whether we're, as a group, we're all roughly in sync on those 30 recommendations. And I'm talking about taking less than 15 minutes to rattle through the entire list. So we don't deep dive on any. We don't deep dive into any of them. If there's a concern, we get right flagged, move on. Sounds like a good idea. Does that work for you?
Mm-hmm. Let's test it for the first few mm-hmm. and see if it works. We'll see.
Yeah, and so we have to be strict.
So it could be good work. It could be good background for the working groups. So we'll a little getting everyone up to speed too.
Okay.
Thanks. I think it's a really good suggestion.
Okay. So the first one's on screen. You can actually read it on screen there. Except I will remove this chair.
Alejandro, do you want me to do the run through of them? Does that make sense? Then we're just okay. So
it's just go around
one by one, read them, right? You read one, Jeff reads two, and so forth.
Okay, so start first. So ICANN should retain the foundational section of the SSR framework and further refine its statement of its SSR remit and limited technical mission. ICANN should elicit public comment on the proposed description and establish a consensus-based statement of its SSR remit and limited technical mission. So how do people feel? Good, bad? Guys, can we have a vote? It would be great if everybody, everyone on their email and their laptops, in order to make this process work. In order to make this process work, Jadon as well. Jadon, hey. So in order to make this work, so we get through this, can we have a thumbs up or a thumbs down for each of the recommendations? So can we? I make a suggestion. Can we just shut laptops? Let's just do that. Everyone, shut the laptops, except for you because you need to keep this up. And let's just rattle through this. Alex. Sorry, thanks. So let's just rattle through this, and then we can go to groups. So first one, thumbs up, thumbs down on. How are we feeling about that, guys? We got consensus.
Very social.
You okay? So got one
social.
Jadon. Oh, sorry, Alex. Can you flick back up again? First bullet. How are we doing? Okay. I think we've got rough consensus with one. In fact, let me record that.
Yep.
Two. Okay, yeah, cool. So we refine. We've got pens.
Yeah, but that.
What that means is let's look for the ones where we really have to have a lot of discussion.
Okay, so here we go. So I'm
it doesn't mean they get written, they get engraved in stone. It only means that we are going to look for more difficult ones first.
Okay, so I'm going to record for the sake of moving on. Consensus, but needs a rewrite. Is everyone comfortable with that? Jeff, you want to do
so, Jeff.
Okay, the second one is, once ICANN issues a consensus-based statement of its SSR remit and limited technical mission, ICANN should utilize consistent terminology and descriptions of this statement in all materials.
ICANN should organize all projects and initiatives in its SSR frameworks according to the categories of responsibilities identified in the foundational section. ICANN also should link any other SSR-related activities back to the foundational section of the SSR framework in order to avoid uncertainty about whether ICANN is adhering to its SSR remit and limited technical mission.
ICANN's implementation of its SSR remit and limited technical mission should be reviewed on a regular basis in order to maintain consensus and elicit feedback from the community. This process should be repeated on a regular basis, perhaps in conjunction with the cycle of future SSR reviews. Only comment I have is we're a bit waffly on perhaps.
So, passed with a rewrite.
Well, thank you. Marty, can you go next?
Sure.
The one that starts with I can shoot.
I'm sorry, we were just talking about a small typo. We're on section 1.3, correct?
1.3. First one in 1.3.
Right. 1.3, ICANN's relationship with other operators of DNS infrastructure. ICANN should continue to maintain and improve constructive relationships with other operators of DNS infrastructure, including root zone operators, ccTLD registries, GTLD registries and registrars, and other relevant parties. ICANN should establish clear processes with the goal of encouraging broad and active engagement.
To build a moat and...
We should know the process is correct here.
I mean, the other thing that people, I think, might be better later is if you don't think it goes far enough or you... Right, I mean, so the question in some cases may be it's general, but I would like to say something more, you know.
Right now we're only looking for whether there's some real disputes. Sheldon, can you read the next one?
ICANN should collaborate with other operators of DNS infrastructure to develop recommendations for increasing transparency and promoting mutual accountability in these relationships.
Yeah. The SSR framework structure 2.1, first bullet. ICANN should build on its current SSR framework by establishing a clear set of objectives and prioritizing its initiatives and activities in accordance with these objectives. This process should be informed by a pragmatic cost-benefit and risk analysis. Sure.
Do you want to get any more specific on that?
Do I want to get more specific on that? I'm just reading the text.
Yeah, I think we can. Should we just capture that as needs?
Needs specific.
Needs focus. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this will be one in this session, it might be worth us working through.
Point 2.1, second bullet. ICANN should continue its outreach efforts to expand community participation and input into the SSR framework development process. ICANN also should establish a process for obtaining more systematic input from other ecosystems participants.
Now we go to the 2.2 implementation first bullet. ICANN should establish a process that allows the community to track the implementation of the SSR framework. Information should be provided with enough clarity that the community can track ICANN's execution of its SSR responsibilities while not harming ICANN's ability to operate effectively. The dashboard process being used to track implementation of the ATRT recommendation serves as a good model.
ICANN should establish a more structured internal process for showing how activities and initiatives relate to specific strategic goals, objectives, and priorities in the SSR framework. It also should establish metrics and milestones for implementation. Approved?
Yeah. Okay. S1 and 2.2, ICANN should conduct an annual review of its progress in implementing the SSR framework and include this assessment as a component of the following year's SSR framework. We were able to get some instant reaction from Jeff Moss, and he liked that idea, actually. So
there's a small issue with that, which is the what do you do with lingering issues that never get resolved? That right? Because you well.
You can track them as...
This will at least help to... Identify.
Yeah, the process helps identify them. We can't, you know... there's a limit to how much we can... essentially, we can micromanage anything, but...
I think it's a good point by Bill, and just keeping to our process, I think... Can we just flag that one for... Just for consideration.
I have flagged add lost initiatives. It's Philippe. Yeah, André,
Okay. 2.3, ICANN's SSR-related organization and budget. ICANN should increase the transparency of information about organization and budget related to implementing the SSR framework and performing SSR-related functions. Information should be provided with enough clarity that the community can track ICANN's execution of its SSR responsibility while not harming ICANN's ability to operate efficiently.
Generally positive, but do we we might want to give some idea about to what level we think the budget should be needs to be discussed.
Taking note. I'm taking note of that.
So should I add specifics needed or? Okay.
Taking note as described level of detail required. Dave, your turn to read.
ICANN should establish a more structured internal process for showing how organization and budget decisions relate to the SSR framework, including the underlying cost-benefit analysis.
Martin. That one went down as approved.
ICANN should publish, monitor, and update documentation on the organization and budget resources needed to manage SSR issues in conjunction with introduction of new GTLDs, to be refined once we get additional information.
Was known as approved.
ICANN should continue his... its effort to step up contract compliance enforcement and provide adequate resources for this function. ICANN also should develop a more structured process for monitoring compliance issues and investigations.
I'm totally thumbs up for this one, but I think that we should flag it for more work.
Yeah.
Both things are true. I mean, it's very good as it stands. I find it good as it stands, but I think that we need to structure it out more.
Well, based on some of the feedback that we've received over the last few days, I think that it just needs to be strengthened up a little bit.
And also reflect the work that we just heard is underway, and, you know,
right.
It
yeah.
may just be to keep
right
going.
Yeah, that's just about to say, given we just heard stuff about it in the last hour, we should probably...
That one's for today.
I believe we are on data requests. Simon has requested additional analysis.
No, the analysis and where there says analysis and data requests on the printout, in this document it means that there's analysis work or data requests open for the recommendation.
So we are on 2.4.
Four.
Okay. a meta comment before I jump into 2.4 is that all of the things that we've talked about thus far are kind of strategic and do not allow ICANN to rapidly respond in the event of an unexpected activity in, as part of SSR. So,
but that's a little.
2.4.
We have section 3.4 for this, I think.
2.4, first bullet. ICANN should continue to refine its strategic plan objectives, particularly the goal of maintaining and driving DNS availability. It should also establish a direct linkage between the SSR framework and the strategic plan.
And I would say, just to flag for when there was a new draft of the, 2012 through 2015 strategic plan just was released last week, so we have that as something that needs to be analyzed, so I think that one will be refined as we take a look. But I think they have made some refinements already to those goals.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Two for our second bullet. ICANN should implement a standards-based change control process for all changes to the route, so there is a documentation for tracking, authorizations, and compliance with the process to be refined as we get more information. Yeah.
Why is it just related to the route, actually? My question is, why is it just related to the route? Why not some other areas?
It's one by one.
Okay.
You need this for some other part of the system, just flag it, need additional paragraph for the rest.
And just to be clear, this one came about from a discussion midweek, which suggested that we had some intelligence to say that the particularly changes being pushed through to IANA may sometimes not being done in as structured a way as possible.
Quite surprised to learn, really. I would.
Now we move to areas where we have been doing ICANN direct operations. Now this moves to 2.5, areas where ICANN acts as a coordinator, collaborator, and facilitator. Number one, first bullet there, ICANN should facilitate and support the development of SSR-related best current practices for accredited registrars and initiate a process to promote the adoption of these practices, such as through incorporation into the registrar accreditation processes and or registrar agreements. And we had also a paragraph there to complement, one more line, which was or self-regulation within the within the registrars. Like agreed best practice or code of conduct.
Yeah, I think we need to incorporation into the registrar accreditation and so on implies it's sort of a there'll be best practices
PDB.
That we need to encourage that will need to be encouraged rather than enforced, and we need to have that.
I think we should flag it for more discussion because it needs to be crystal clear, and the intention of using the skin in the game is really what's important here. And I think that the way it's written is right now the scope is really wide, and we want to tighten that up a little bit.
There is a plan to replace RFC 2870, which is one of the ICANN documents they use for validating name servers for new TLD applications. That's going to get done before March. So they are, in fact, hopefully through the IETF, yes. But that's the intent, and that's not coming out of ICANN. That's actually coming out of the root operator community.
What's the number there?
2870.
Bill, how will that affect the registrars?
When a new TLD comes online, one of the things that is required is a technical analysis of the underlying infrastructure, including the name servers. And RFC 2870 has been the standard in use for the last 12 years, and it's woefully out of date.
But the reason why I thought we should flag this was not specifically related to driving any kind of anything in the RFC process. It was also to set some operational excellence by example, not necessarily related to the RFC series. For example, we made a recommendation with respect to standards-based change control processes and whatnot. But again, I think
in keeping with Simon's wish that we just not deep dive into these things, we should discuss it later.
No.
Okay, so just an explanation around this next one. This one is aimed at folks like Nominet, where there's no direct contractual relationship, hence why the language is slightly different, but it's the same intent, which is ICANN should encourage supporting organisations to develop and publish SSR-related best current practices for their members.
With more discussion, I think. Again, the operating words BCP, I think that's going to send people in different directions. And
Funnily enough, we had that very debate about using, because techie folks see BCP as business continuity. Yeah, yep. Exactly. Yeah.
And do we want to be a little more more explicit about how it should encourage them? I mean, it's a bit...
It's flagged.
Yeah.
Goes down a flag. Approved of flagged. So we work on it today.
Yep.
Section 3 are a little less developed, but I think the concepts are worth getting out there. ICANN should continue so this is general risk management process. ICANN should continue the ongoing process of forming a working group to establish a risk management framework. This work should follow high standards of participation and transparency, be expedient, call in a well-balanced set of principles with privileged expertise and ability to deliver results, and be given high priority and preference. And then I think in some discussions this week, we had talked about just clearly identifying the roles of the different organizations that are doing work in this area and how they're going to interrelate with each other. But I think a lot of this comes down to the board working group and getting that completed.
I'm moving to flag this one without even, well, I mean, thumbs, but we'll flag, just thumbs though. We need to flag it, we need to work on it today, and we know that it will be inconclusive because we don't know what will come out from the board tomorrow, but let's make at least a plan for it depending on the outcome. And it's Andres' turn.
The risk management framework ICANN adopts should be clear, comprehensive, able to involve strategically and facilitating ICANN to respond tactically. It should consider risk, cost and benefit factors, delineate responsibilities clearly, create and manage incentives for all participants, and permeate all activities of ICANN, core boards, staff supporting organization and advisory committees, and serve to all on other parties in a compelling way to induce their collaboration for the SSR of the DNS and FADA.
I'd just like to call for a tighter wording around that. It's quite a wordy. Yeah, it's kind of one of those. Yeah.
Actually, it will become an extensive recommendation, I think. So we should. It's like.
Or even a split into multiple recommendations.
Yeah. One thing that struck me is it created a question for me: how much of this may overlap with our recommendation on the SSR framework? So. Are we talking more about risk management kind of process?
It's risk and contingency.
Yeah.
ICANN should include long-range strategic factors in its risk management framework, obtaining information and insights from operational research, business, and other sources. As much as possible, ICANN would benefit from fostering open discussion of the evolution of risks while also maintaining confidential or reserved the information whose dissemination may harm the performance of the SSR function. Since the open, transparent environment of ICANN invites frequent inspection, the opportunities of increasing security through confidentiality are limited, and ICANN should manage for a glasshouse environment.
Yeah, I think it needs a little bit of wordsmithing, and I think that what we're seeing is the recommendation and the analysis in one paragraph, and we just need to split some of the analysis out to make them a little bit more finite. So
for the next one, I fear. Turn to read it and,
sure,
and bring it up.
ICANN should reconsider its decision to adopt or not compliance with standards like ISO 2700X, ITIL, COBIT, ISO 9000, etc. On one hand, these standards are burdensome and may actually lead ICANN away from the ability to perform its mission optimally. On the other, they could add a measure of transparency and relieve ICANN from unnecessary audits. The decision to follow compliance paths must privilege mission achievement. I think we need to wordsmith a bit, and I think there's some linkage here back to our recommendation with respect to standards-based compliance with process, that we should be clear if we mean standards at a much higher level in the organization or low level, that we're talking about the route. Again, we want to make sure that we're within the remit and that we're crystal clear. So I mid-thumbs.
Needs work. All the other ones in brackets network. So, no, Simon, how do you want to go, Martin? How do you want to go about them? We'll just flag them for work today,
we'll
keep thumbing.
We've only got a few more to go. I think what I would propose is
they're in brackets. But yeah,
what I would propose we do is let's get down the rest of these. There's only about 7 or 8 more to go anyway. And then what would be really good, I think, there's going to be a whole chunk of stuff we probably haven't yet captured that needs capturing today. And I would suggest that's when we split into groups and say, okay, what are we missing on here? Now we've all been through it and we've got a feel for it. What are you feeling? Is there a whole area that we've missed, or is there? Does that make sense? So rather than trying to do that as a group, because I think we'll end up deep diving very quickly again.
So did we decide to wordsmith that last bullet, Martin, that you...
I believe we did.
Yeah, the one for me, the lack of clarity there is, are we talking about ICANN? Are we talking about ICANN in its capacity as the IANA functions operator?
I guess we could talk about that while we're wordsmithing.
General, do you want to pick up the next one that says in italics, recommend ICANN?
I'm a little bit confused about this recommendation. Yeah.
Just read. Do you know? Is it worth just reading it out to the group? So, can everyone see it?
This mean the responsibility of the ISAC is not clear. Or.
So, what this recommendation is referring to is, in specific, the instance of the route scaling study, where it was clear it was actually within RSAC's remit to do it, but ESSAC picked it up, and there was some confusion about whether RSAC should have done it or ESSAC should have done it. So, it was specifically asking for clarity around which issues ESSAC should pick up and which issues should go to RSAC or any other supporting group, actually, to be fair.
So maybe it should be more establish a clear set of responsibilities for the ESSAC and the RSAC instead of just focusing on one. I don't know.
Yeah, if the intent is specifically about division of labor between ESSAC and RSAC, then I think that's a good question. But I mean, as it's sort of stated there, it sort of implies that the ESSAC charter is unclear or something, which I don't think is the case.
Yeah, it's not meant to be that at all. It's meant to be about just clarity of exactly. Yeah, so I think
it is one of those things. The ESSAC charter. You have to read it in the knowing that RSAC exists, and that introduced some. You know, if RSAC didn't exist, it would be interpreted differently.
I,
I think the intention of this is to clarify that we don't want to have double work, too much overlap, but we, on the other hand, don't want to miss something to be done in this area. Okay.
It's probably useful, well, maybe, I don't know. I believe that ICANN actually has in its bylaws, because both SSAC and RSAC are now in ICANN's bylaws, and what their responsibilities are. From a high level and strategic point of view, I think that's reasonably clear. What is unclear is when you get into tactical implementation of detail as to which committee should take the responsibility. And for me, this gets into the issues about the SSR plan and its sort of long-term sort of strategic focus and sort of the tactical issues on executing the strategic plan. So
for the sake of time, could I make a good suggestion that this is one we need to deep dive into in one of the groups and really explore and open up? Would that be a good recommendation?
Yes.
So this may end up being multiple recommendations or even scratched, whichever way. Yeah. So is that okay with everybody? It's a biggie, yeah. Okay. Billy, you're on next.
Okay.
Incident response process.
So we're going to skip analysis, and I'm going to skip 3.2 because there's nothing there. And we'll do the first bullet in 3.3, incident response process. Recommend clear process for notification of incidents both within ICANN and externally. And I would wordsmith that to say externally within ICANN's remit.
Say again, Bill. Sorry, I didn't quite catch that.
Okay. Recommend clear process for notification of incidents both within ICANN and externally. If you forget the bounding, the context of externally is undefined.
You think this is another dive with that? I don't know how deep this one is, but it's certainly another dive into this, I think. Does that make sense?
I don't even think it needs to be particularly deep dive, as long as we say within the purview of ICANN's limited technical scope.
Okay, yeah.
And it's fine. So in that case,
is that a no, Chad?
Should be.
I don't think it, even making such kind of recommendation, I don't think that I can do such kind of things. So I don't know how many incidents can be found by ICANN. So,
in that particular thing, if what I don't want. I do not wish to burden ICANN with a general mailbox when somebody says, I can't send email, mm-hmm. right? And would the ICANN NOC please help me debug my email problems, right? That's what I don't want to see happen, so I want to make sure that the external thing is clearly within ICANN's limited scope. Otherwise, incident response or incident notification to ICANN, they're going to be flooded, and that would be a huge, huge mistake.
Do we really mean that kind of incident, though? Don't we mean something along the lines of the change management process was violated and it was an internal incident with respect to process and procedure?
I'm not going to deep dive with you now,
okay.
But yes.
Right, so we should wordsmith this one or kick it after we deep dive it. I mean, I agree with you on scope and having mailboxes for ridiculous things and, you know, BHAGs. Right, exactly.
Okay, incident response process continued. Recommend that ICANN establish a working group to analyze redundancy issues and develop any recommendations. it was one any too much then, too many. Or is my English?
Moving to section 3.4, contingency planning process. Bracketed statement says, recommend process that ensures ESSAC independence and ICANN programs and actions are planned without first looking at SSR issues. Work, right?
Yeah, just so the background to this one was the intelligence we learned in our very first meeting with the ESSAC, when they said there was a suggestion that they may have felt pressured to come up with a yes to approve the GTLD program from the root scaling without, and felt they had to compromise in their answer in order to give that yes. So.
Work or discard?
Work.
Well, that's it. I mean, we've been through the list. It's 11:30. Most of the work is in Section 3. I don't think it's reasonable to split into two groups, which one does only sections. I mean, does 1 and 2, and the other one does 3. But on the other hand, the focus of each is quite different. So maybe what will serve us better is to split along those lines from now to 1, see where we get. Assess progress and make a new decision at lunchtime. Do you agree? You all agree? So, Jeff, Simon, and teammates, meet on this side of the table or in the chairs, what you want to do. And how do you want to split the group? Do you want people to volunteer, or do you want for the leaders to pick team members? I would first go for volunteering.
Just a point of process. We're missing two members from the team at the moment. We're missing Hartmut and Alice. I wonder if we've got any update on where they are.
Hartmut told me he had a meeting and he would be with us at 11, but it's already half an hour past. And from Alice, I have no... Jan Munyuan, I have no news.
I have some information regarding Alice Munyuan. She hasn't been able to spend time on the SSR review team. She asked me if I could cover her part in the SSR review team, at least for the moment. So she will not stay at all.
I think that the question and the answer have two parts. Certainly the answer has two parts. One is sharing workload. And, you know, what can we do if she can come and she trusts you, then it means she's signing off, or you're telling on your work, or you're telling her reporting. And then after reporting, she can come and sign off on whatever you do. That's one part. The other one is that she has a distinct responsibility because she is not designated as one more team member by one constituent group like you are by the GAC. She is designated as a representative of the GAC chair, which is a distinct position. I mean, she has a responsibility. With that, I think there's a responsibility that's not flat. In some way, it's an oversight and reporting responsibility. So I just have to signal this. There's an accountability issue by each member not performing duties. It's not to the team. I mean, that's just, you know, bad teamwork or bad luck. But there's accountability to her chair that you have to make sure that you also have delegated. I'm not going to go into the GAC and drag her out. But there, I mean, personally think it, there's importance in having clarity in that hair function is asymmetric.
The information I got from her was just between the two of us. I don't think she has clarified with that with the Heather Dryden. So,
sir, this is within the GAC. This is for the GAC tour. So,
I just received it, literally coincidentally just received a note from her a few minutes ago saying that she's planning to join us later, but she needs to something. She needs to discuss something first with Heather, but she will hope to join us later.
Alejandro, my suggestion for the team was maybe to allow people to self-select based on the work that they've already been doing. And there may be some people that are doing, you know, some work in both sections. So regardless, you know, we'll like to capture for sure what has already been done. So just because you're on one team doesn't mean, you know, if you looked at another issue that we don't want to get your input.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's still a lot of work. There's work enough in both. There seems to be a lot of fresh thinking, analyzing, and writing under the last few pages, the last couple of pages. Whereas the other needs more like in some cases, strictly wordsmithing, splitting stuff into parts is a larger part. But anyways, I mean, my choice would be first volunteers, and if people are undecided, then let's pick team members. But I would strongly recommend that each of you volunteer for either the parts 1 and 2 or part 3. And again, parts 1 and 2 is led by Simon and Jeff, and part three is led by Martin Hanning and myself, at least during this meeting. This doesn't mean ongoing responsibility after the meeting, in case your workload doesn't allow you, but as long as we're here, that's for today.
So just chatting briefly with Jeff, one suggestion would be that, because I did a lot of the analysis for the section one stuff, and they've probably done the most deep diving and documenting. I'll work with Jeff this morning on that group, but then I'll hop across. I'll come across into the other group, if that makes sense, because I think we're further along in that section, so that will add a bit more. Does that work for everybody?
Works for me.
I don't see a problem.
What, Jeff, since you're for the most part been kind of driving the format of the document, what do you think the most effective approach with respect to the groups should be this morning? Should we not get into the analysis, or should we focus just strictly on wordsmithing? I mean, what makes sense?
I thought what we should focus on is, I think the wordsmithing to me should happen a little bit later after some more of the analysis is done, so that the effort would be on organizing what needs to be analyzed, what's already been done that somebody just needs to write up, and everybody walking out with very clear understanding of what their next steps are and deliverables are in the next couple of weeks.
Okay. Right. Also, on Tuesday, when we started to develop some of the recommendations for the document, we had basically, no pun intended, forward resolve the questions to the document. And do you think at some point it would be a recommendation that we reverse resolve these back to the remit and make sure that all the recommendations actually make sense, so that if we've accidentally fallen outside of that remit, we can catch it before we publish anything?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Yeah.
As a point of principle, I wondered whether, if as we split, it's worth, against this document, actually, Alice, if you could send it around with your notes on it, that would be brilliant. Oh, fantastic. And actually just bung some spaces in between each of the issues, and then in a group decide, just note down in terms of what we think needs, what other documentation needs to be captured, perhaps who's going to do that work, and perhaps how long you think it's going to take. So we really get down into the kind of a little bit of sort of project management of each of these issues, because then I think what we could do is come back to the group and say, right, we've worked out that the first 10 issues is probably about a week and a half's worth of work, and we should be able to get that into first draft status by whatever it is, you know, it's middle of November. Because I think then what that would work really well is we can then start to assign, so right, actually we need to put more folk on recommendations 25 to 32 because they're really hairy and we need to get some, you know, a lot of analysis done in there. So I think it would give us a feeling really quickly of where the work effort is. Do people feel comfortable with that if we did that?
So Alejandro, we'll just break the document basically in two, and we'll annotate the first two sections with specifics about who's doing what and keep kind of the working log based on it. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yep, and after lunch, we'll turn that into
welcome to the careful. ICANN Conference Center, powered by Adigo Conferencing, www.adigo.com. Please enter the conference site.
Thank you.
Who's on?
So, as, again, a point of process, if we're going to break into groups, we're not all going to be on the mic. So if you're participating remotely, I'm guessing you're going to miss.
Yeah. If you're participating remotely, only one group will have microphones, and you'll decide whether you want to be on that one. And the other one won't. And it's likely to be the group three that will be on the mics.
I'm just thinking, is that going to be workable? Because if you're in the other group trying to concentrate...
Yeah, actually, no mics.
I think it's going to have to be no mics, I think, to be honest.
Yep.
Sorry for that remote participants.
So I have been letting this, drag on a little so that people can make their choices. But now we do need to know where, what team you're going to continue during the rest of the day. So, David, how do you feel? One and two or three? David says probably three. Andre, your preference?
I was thinking about three, but in three. Case there's some imbalance, I can join one and two.
Three. Anders?
Yes, possibly.
Three. Bill?
Wherever you put me.
Sheldon?
Group four.
No, I mean, we've got, funny enough, we don't get any volunteers, any explicit volunteers to work on one and two.
Is it my aftershave or something? Is this what the problem is?
What? So nobody volunteered for the first group?
There's no one. Alice tells me there's right now no one on the bridge. Marty, any choices?
I'm interested.
I mean, I assumed you and I were doing three.
Well,
as
I'd like to participate in the first group if it's okay. I think we have enough technical people in the room that can answer questions related to the differences between RSAC and SAC. And I'd like to learn a little bit more about what Simon and Jeff have been working on. So if that would be okay.
And Bill and Anders, do you want? Yeah, Anshano. So. Yeah, Anders is on three, sorry. Bill and Shalton. So let's see. For number three, the volunteers have been David, Andre, Anders, and myself. That's four. So then it looks reasonable, unless you have another preference for Bill and Shalton to be, and Martin to be with Jeff and Simon on one and two. Okay. How do we rearrange here? Just take one end of the table?
Take one side. And we can go down by marking.
Okay. Anyone need a physio break for 5 minutes?